Blog Talk Radio.
Or home field advantage.
You're not turned into the kings of the 7 o'clock spot for home field advantage sports talk, where our motto is, our home, our field, your advantage. You better take advantage. And the intro is brought to you by City Boy South at CIDDYBOYSOUTH.com. And tonight, we're going to discuss professional athletes heading for retirement early, football fans who are overreacting, which we're probably talking about you if you're listening. We're also going to have former Tennessee Titans and Tampa Bay Buccaneers standout, Javon Hayes. We're going to have him 15 minutes before the top of the hour. We're going to have your For the People segment and also our final four thoughts. But before we get started, let me give you the number. The number is 347-215-9490. That's 347-215-9490. Let's get started. Now, of course, the past couple of weeks, we done had a lot of people that decided to retire, like Patrick Willis. We got Chris Barland and also Jake Locker, and that's just to name a few. But, you know, a lot of people retire because they're getting older. They're getting up in age. And let's just look at the whole situation. Patrick Willis is 30 years old. Chris Barland was 24, and Jake Locker was 26. And I think what's very interesting about the whole situation is the fact that they retired for different reasons.
Yeah. Well, first of all, it's Chris Borland. He said Barland. I was like, I was shuffling through my paperwork like, nigga, who is this?
I was close. Barland.
I was like, Barland. I got the wrong paperwork. Nah. Yeah, you're right, man. Borland, he really sent waves through the NFL with him saying that he is leaving just because of possible head trauma. And then you got Patrick Willis, who I ain't shocked at Patrick Willis. I mean, I've been on record as saying he ain't been the best linebacker on that team for a little while now.
Yeah, that is true. I don't think that he played to be the best. I thought he just did his job, and I think it probably – he was the best at one point in time, but I think maybe it probably showed – that his interest started to go elsewhere, which if you listen to what he said in his retirement speech, you know, he wanted to get closer to God. He said that's his number one goal, is getting closer to God. And he wanted to devote more time into his church. Also, he wanted to be a police officer or get into the judicial system, like not the way most black folks usually get in there, the right way.
Oh, so you want to shoot black people for fun.
Oh, wow.
But I think that out of all of them, Borland seems to be the most polarizing one. And it seems – I think it's unfair that he's the most polarizing one. Nobody should ever question why someone retires. Like, if they retire, they just retire. As athletes, they don't owe us anything. You know, what people don't realize, we make the choice to go out there and spend the money on the tickets or spend the money to get the NFL Network, that I forgot what it's called. We spend that money. They don't make us spend that money. It's just been a lot of controversy surrounding him and his retirement. Is it because he said too much at a young age?
Talking about Borland?
Yeah.
I think it's a lot has to do with perception of when you're supposed to retire. I think the general thought is, you know, you retire, AARP, you know, you do all that stuff around 50, 65, whatever those ages is where you start to get all the good benefits, like you get in the movie theater for a cheap price.
Oh, my God, I can't wait.
I'm telling you, man. Jesus Christ, going to the movie theater is, Jesus, I feel pimped.
You could have that, have some people that just feel like, in a sense, that he could be, in a sense, like ungrateful because he's retiring so early because he's young. You have a lot of people that feel like he should stick it out because it's like an opportunity of a lifetime.
Yeah, but it's just still unfair to me because in football, you're one hit away from, you know, being a paraplegic, and you're also one hit away from being a vegetable. You know, I just think it's unfair that people are questioning him. Matter of fact, Tim Ryan, the San Francisco 49ers radio personality, blasted him, saying that he quit. He thinks that he's selfish and this, that, and the other. So I never heard of Tim Ryan. Like, he sounded like a rabid fan. So I went and did some research on him. He actually played in the NFL. He played from 1990 to 1993. I don't know if he was trying to live vicariously through Borland or what, but sports is just a phase. I mean, you have to think about it. Kevin Garnett is about to retire, or if somebody gives him another contract, it's something wrong. But my point is, he's at that point in time physically where he shouldn't be playing anymore. He's only 38 years old. Sports is just a phase. People have to think outside of that. And if you don't, you end up like David Harrison, who made $4.5 million and has to work at McDonald's. You are the tallest cashier I ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
No disrespect, though.
I go back to Rashad Mendenhall, and, of course, people, you know, they're so harping over Chris Borland. You know, Mendenhall last year when he retired, he was only 26.
Yes.
And one of the things that he said in harmony with Marlon said, he was saying in a recent interview that, you know, for everybody the game stops. It may stop at high school, it may stop at college, it may stop 2 years in the league, 12 years in the league, but eventually father time wins and the game stops.
Yes.
And so people have to realize that. And I'm a person, my game ended a long time ago. But you have to realize that it's just a part of your life. It's not your entire life, but to be honest, are these athletes really taught that it's part of your life? They're treated as though that's your everything.
Hey, to be honest, to me, sometimes I think athletes play because it's they're playing because they're getting paid. Sports can be a job too. Sometimes you just do it because it's something that you're good at. It may not be your passion. I have friends that played in professional sports in NBA, NFL. I don't have any MLB, but
draw.
But they have always told me, you'd be surprised at who lives paycheck to paycheck.
Yeah.
And who needs, like, who's sitting around the locker room waiting for that check because they don't even have direct deposit. I was like, whoa, seriously? You know, I thought that was, like, mandated, you know, but.
Yeah.
So I'm not really shocked when I see people linger and linger and linger, and then when they finally retire, you start hearing they're having all these money problems and stuff.
Yeah, because it's – okay, think of it like what Maurice Claret said. I don't know if you guys followed what he was saying on Twitter, but Maurice Claret was basically saying that, you know, before you judge or look into Chris Borland and his situation, you need to look into his background and his support system,
because
he may have the type of support system that's not available to every player and every guy.
Wow.
I'll be honest. Too many times, especially at high school level, I see too many parents that are living through their children.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to admit, like, okay, if in high school your kid is 18 and then they go to the league about 21, there's there's not enough time to pass for them to just deprogram away from the things that you've been teaching them that, hey, you're doing this for the family.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, this is going to help us get out. Hey, your Uncle Ron going to be able to open that car garage with that money. Like, I think a lot of players play for a lot of different reasons. I think the misconception is that everybody assumes that once you make it to professional sports, you have achieved your dream. And for a lot of people, it's not their dream.
Well, I mean, if just looking at Chris Borland with the decision that he made, when you see somebody like Sidney Rice had to retire at the age of 27, taking too many blows to the head, I mean, 27 is still young. So
pause.
What? What was pause?
I don't know. I just
Jesus Christ.
I mean, you said blows to the head. I'm immature.
Yeah, but you said it late. Well, anyway, that just and like what Marlon was saying about players being passionate, we can talk about Jay Locker, how he just flat out said. He said in so many words that he just didn't have really interest in the game. Like, he could have been burned out. Some of these players played since they were like 4 or 5 years old.
I mean, if you're Jake Locker, and this is no offense to the Tennessee Titans, but it's been a really long time since they've been in the playoffs. Really long time.
Music? No, I was going to say Music City.
Well, not that far back, right. But I know Chris Johnson was part of the team. Like, that's a long time to be in a losing program when he was used to winning through high school and through Washington. And all of a sudden, you get to professional sports, and you can't even pull it off. And it's probably, you know, you're a quarterback, so much pressure. I wouldn't be shocked if he got, you know, burnt out on it.
And who's to say that his background is not very supportive and, you know, who's to say that that's not accurate? You know, I put a statement on Facebook. I don't know what day it was, but it caused I ruffled some feathers with some people because I made the statement that I want to start paying it forward, or my goal is to pay it forward, and I want to put my son in a position to succeed, not to survive. And most people are put in the position to survive as opposed to succeed. And, you know, because some people had to start working at a certain age because they got to help make the ends meet, just stuff like that. Jake Locker and Chris Borland may not be in those situations. And that's something that people have to understand. And, you know, and it's more than just the game. And in Jake Locker's situation, I'm not sure. I would really be pressed to ask Javon when he comes on. But I feel as if the Titans organization just wasn't sold on him anymore, because I didn't, you know, and you know I have this theory, Mike, when I say when you got a quarterback and that's your guy, you give him the tools that he needs to be successful.
Right.
I never saw them give him more than one wide receiver, and that wide receiver stayed in trouble. Britt. I never seen them really give him a great line, you know. So I just feel as if, I mean, he was running for his life a lot of times. And some of it was his fault for holding on to the ball too long, maybe not understanding how to read the field or the game, the speed of the game was too much for him. I don't know. But it just seemed like the organization from the outside looking in did not buy into him anymore.
So you basically saying the organization made that job or that him playing there so unbearable that he was willing to quit?
Yes, I am saying that. This just like in the, you know, if you're a wrestling fan, old school wrestling fan, you'll understand. The Tennessee Titans took Chris, what's his name? I mean, took Jake Locker's smile away, just like WWE took Shawn Michaels' smile away.
Yeah. I can see that, and I'm gonna tell you why. And here's the thing, fans, we always get it confused. Like, players are so much that different from us. Like, these aren't, you know, 21, 10, 22-year-old kids. You know, if you think about it yourself, if you're at a job right now and you feel like they don't believe in you, they don't treat you right, you don't even know if you're going to get fired. You know, you got some other opportunities, man. You're going to quit. The only time you stay is you feel like your opportunities are limited, which is why I think some players decide to stay. I mean, think about it. Terrell Owens ain't retired, and he's been trying to come back. every year.
Did he get invited to the free agent combine?
I think he got rejected. Then somebody got rejected.
Did he?
Vince Young. Vince Young either pulled out. I don't know what Vince Young do, but he need a Applebee's sponsorship or something. But yeah, like okay, that's a perfect example. Like you know, Vince Young, he had other opportunities, so he kind of squandered his opportunity. Like I don't care what anybody say. I know people say Tennessee didn't give him an opportunity or a full opportunity, but at the same time, he squandered his opportunity as well. And you know, you stuck with what you stuck with. You know, you're basically forced to retire. That happens in real life. Sometimes you're jobs will force you to quit.
In other words, just be human. They just being human. As far as athletes, you know, they go through the same thing what we go through.
That's true.
It's interesting, and I want you guys to chime in on it. Why do we view them as so different? Like, we should be able to easily understand Chris Borland saying, I talked to my family. There's too much risk. I don't want to do it. I'm going to go back to school. Instead, we get mad at him. It doesn't make sense. But if that was a regular Joe on the street that was at a job that he was pissed off at and he was making good money, but he said, I want to do what I want to do. I'm going to go back to school. We'll be like, oh, applaud that man. Great job.
And that sounds like can't think of the guy's name with the he was at Florida State. Think he played safety.
The Rhodes Scholar.
Yeah,
I don't remember his name.
I can't remember his name, but I remember how people, even radio personalities, dogging him out because he actually thought about, no, I'm not gonna go to the NFL. I'm actually gonna go to London and get in because he wanted to be a surgeon, I believe.
Yes,
a brain surgeon. And he picked up a lot of slack where he felt that pressure. And he ended up going to the draft. Look where he at now. He's over there to be, you know, he ended up leaving the NFL, and now he's over there trying to be a brain surgeon. I think it's the money thing. But the crazy part about his situation is brain surgeons make money too.
Yeah.
I think people just view people, I think it's what is advertised and what is being shown to people. You see a football a football player, you see a basketball player, you see a baseball player, really is really basketball and football more than anything else. And you just see the money. Because if they really was paying attention, money-wise, and we say this all the time, it's money in baseball. Why nobody pushing their child to play baseball?
If it ain't about the money.
It's in their face. It's in their face. It's on every corner. It's in every store, every magazine. It's all over TV. I think that's what it is. It's all money.
But at the same time, like, just putting yourself in an honest perspective where you view that other athlete as a human, we even know that money ain't everything. Some of us say we'll sell ourselves for a little bit. Some of us will sell ourselves for a lot. Some of us don't have a price on what we can do. It all depends on your background. Like Maurice Claret, it feels funny quoting him. Like as much dumb stuff as he's done, he had to read a lot of books in jail. He had to. Because he made a lot of good points. He was even bringing out that in college, you're forced to take these classes that have no impact on your future at all.
Oh.
They're just classes to get you through. So, you know, you look at Chris Borland.
Yeah, he was a goat herder.
Yeah.
He had to take goat herding.
Oh, Lord. But look at Chris Borland. He went out, got his degree, went to the league, said, this ain't for me. I'm going to go back and get my master's. Versus somebody who, like Maurice Claret, met. Not only did you take some boo-boo classes, but you ain't finished school.
Right.
So you screwed.
Well, he finished eventually.
Maurice Claret finished?
Yes.
Oh,
they let him back in.
I was going to say the penile system has a
no, go
college.
Go back and watch on Youngstown, the 30 for 30. He did go back.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I
feel like the reason why fans get so upset and so emotionally attached is because the lines are blurred. Hey. But the reason why they're blurred is because
that's 7 million.
Oh, sorry, gay family. I ain't got no money. But the reason why it's like that is because most of the time, a lot of these people wish they can do it, or they're just so emotionally invested into it. And we really look at people on television, radio, whatever, wherever, we look at them as larger than life, and we don't understand the business side of it. You know, it's a lot that goes on that people, like, that stuff is away from us. Like, when people say, oh, well, you shouldn't sit down because your ankle sprained. You making millions of dollars. I came out here to see you. But what about that billion-dollar owner that's in the booth that's just sitting up there having a good old time? Doesn't, you know, like the Dolan family.
Yeah.
That product that's out there in Madison Square is horrible to watch. But they're making all the money. And he even told, what did he tell a fan? He said something smart to a fan in an email. And it just, they don't care. And that's, you know, fans have to really learn how to separate themselves from the sport itself emotionally. It's all right to look at it in a recreational standpoint and enjoy it. But, you know, like I've read the 49ers, oh, our team sucks. And Patrick Willis betrayed us, and Boylan is a bum anyway. And look, that's not true.
They'll take everyone on back, right?
I know, right?
Right. You know, it's, come on, really?
That's the 49ers fans jumping off the bandwagon.
I know, right?
And hitting the ground extremely hard.
And Jerry Rice ain't catching you either.
So, in harmony with that, just really quick point, man. I'll be honest, just some street wisdom in this.
Street.
Yeah, street wisdom. That I've always heard that you always going to get pimped by somebody. You need to control how you're getting pimped.
Yep.
And I think a lot of times in sports, you're getting pimped. They sell you a dream. They put you up in a house. Hey, we'll give you some money. We know it's more money than you ever had. Sell you this big fake dream, and then, you know, 2-3 years down the line, you're like, this dream ain't what I thought it would be. And it happens. It happens, especially in basketball. Oh, my goodness. I mean, people get drafted and never see the light of the NBA.
No, they just
they end up in
the
D League
mm-hmm.
their whole entire life, and nobody knows you. Matter of fact, more people knew you in college than they do in the D League.
Yeah, because you know what's funny about that? You know what's really funny about that? When you play NBA 2K and you do the My Player mode,
yeah.
Oh man,
and you like trying to work your way up the ranks,
mm-hmm.
like it's all the college kids that was like they're free agents now, or there's people that still trying to make the league. I was seeing names. I'm like, oh, I remember that person from 4 years ago. Like, what happened to him? You know. So yeah, you're right.
Another crazy thing about 2K, I think 2000, either 2009, 2010 is one of them.
Mm-hmm.
You play My Player mode, mess around and get sent to the D-League. I promise you, you ain't going to get out. You're not getting out.
Oh, wow.
They send you to the D-League. It don't matter how many points you put up, how many assists. It's like they got this one person look like Isaiah Thomas. That keeps talking to you, saying that the coaches are saying you're not doing this, that, and third.
Oh, well,
they think about letting you go.
It's Isaiah Thomas.
So,
yeah, pretty much.
So,
this is accurate.
So, I think, just to get back on subject, one thing I do remember, I remember Marlon had me listening to Coco Bella, the wrestler, to his podcast when he had CM Punk.
Mm-hmm.
And CM Punk said it got so out of control when he left WWE. People were saying to him, dude, you need to come back. I bought your house. And CM Punk was like, what are you talking about? You didn't buy my house. That's how crazy some of these fans are.
Yeah.
They really feel like the money they pay is, you could say, they feel like they're giving the players an allowance. Let's say it like that.
I like the way you said that. Yeah, that is exactly how we feel like. Is it Friday yet? All right, now I'm going to come go to the game, and we're going to get you a little money, boy.
Did you clean your room? You know, I don't get that.
That's why I appreciated Rashad Mendenhall so much, man. And that interview, it's a really good one if you get a chance to. It's with USA Today Sports. And Rashad Mendenhall basically said, they asked him, like, how long, because he's a writer now. I don't know if you guys know he's a writer.
Mm-hmm.
Writer on a new show that's coming out called Ballers for HBO.
Yeah.
And they was like, how long have you been writing? He said, my whole life. That's all. That was my release. That was my piece. That's what I focused on. But if you say that out loud, a lot of people are like, but you played football.
Yeah, you're not smart.
And that's what they're saying about Larry Sanders. He haven't officially said that he's walking away, but they did an interview with Larry Sanders, and he was saying that when he was in school, they forced him to take business as his major because that's the only thing that lined up to him going to practice and playing games. But he's an artist. He's always been an artist, so he wanted to go to school for art. So he never viewed himself as a basketball player. He views himself as an artist that just so happened to play basketball. And he just, he's kind of up in the air about what he's going to do. He really ain't made a decision.
It was a job for him.
Yeah, this
he treated it like a job, too.
This is the best advice I can give anybody. Because I'm living it. And also, you know, I've been on both sides. In life, you need to do whatever you're passionate about. However, you have to understand, this is how you can tell when you're really passionate about something. When you're willing to sacrifice time, sleep, energy, frustration, when you're willing to sacrifice, that's how you know this is what you love. Larry Sanders said something that was key in the interview that I watched. He said, basketball took up too much of my time.
Mm. It was a job to him.
Yeah.
So that's why when you watch TV and you see actors or you see athletes, whatever the case may be, it must be their passion because it's a major sacrifice. It really is.
Right. Sacrificing your body, your time.
Yes.
Your energy.
Relationships. It's a lot of things that you're sacrificing.
Larry Sanders sacrificed his weed.
I hit that with bottle. Remember when he got hit with that bottle?
Oh, you know what?
Like paint, huh? Foul.
I'm going to ask you guys something. Do you think that which is heading that way, marijuana becomes legalized, do you think that there's going to be a mass bunch of people that come back?
I would not be surprised, but it'll slow the game down.
Yeah. I know that.
Well, at least you like people like, because some people.
Ain't no other way of putting it.
But like, coach, I'm running as fast as I can, man.
I believe you'll get a better play out of people like J.R. Smith, who you allowed on the smoke of.
Does he smoke weed?
Cool.
Listen. J.R. Smith.
Do we got to ask that question?
I have no idea.
Listen, hey, allegedly, yeah. We're going to say allegedly, but if I was a gambling man, I'll put my odds on that.
That he smoked weed.
Yes, I would.
Smoke weed every day.
That's hysterical. I mean, I have no idea. I was just asking. Didn't he get suspended for that once?
I believe
when
so.
When he was with New Orleans, which people forget he played there.
Yeah, a lot of people forget that.
He got suspended for it in New York at the beginning of the season. Got
okay. Oh, they didn't suspend him for stalking Rihanna?
I think there's some serious. I think a bunch of players would be like, all right, I'll come back. Like Larry Sanders, he continued to get in trouble for marijuana, and then you kind of delve into his life and you kind of realize, like, oh, he wasn't just like this weed head.
And I mean, most weed heads are not just weed heads. Like, I think...
Except Josh Gordon, I think he's a straight up...
No, I mean, I think that weed is an escape. Drugs, recreational drugs, even prescription drugs, alcohol, all that stuff is an escape from something. And what sports really need to focus on is getting these guys psychiatric help because, you know, hey, tear your ACL or your thing in your arm and get Tommy John. You can do any of that stuff, and they're going to fix you. But when it comes to psychiatric help, they don't help these guys. I remember many years ago watching a documentary but Darryl Dawkins. You know, he was saying how depressed he was. I think he lost his wife in a car accident. It was so much that went on in his life. And he just played basketball just for a paycheck. And that's not good. Like, you know,
yeah.
We don't – it's really amazing to me that the league, NHL, you know, NFL, especially NFL, that the psychiatric aspect is not – it doesn't appear to be that important to the public.
And let's be honest, you don't want to see a player play without passion. It's the best when you get to, like, watching Russell Westbrook play.
Oh, my God.
Is so enjoyable because he just loves to play the game.
Unlike Kevin Love. No, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding.
No, you're not kidding. Kevin Love looked like he's disinterested.
This year.
No, he looked disinterested in Minnesota. He did.
I think what it was, he said, I'm leaving somewhere that's cold and gray and boring for another place that's cold and gray and boring.
Oh, Lord.
I think that's what that was.
Is it? I mean, you watch players that don't play with passion and you just don't want to. That's why I was proud of Jake Locker. You don't want to do this anymore, don't do it.
I appreciate that.
Because I'd rather not watch you, you know, do it halfway.
But see, and this is another thing that the fan, this is what makes fans hypocritical. You see someone like Jake Locker and you complain, but then you see someone like Eric Dickerson back in the day play maybe 6 years too long, and then you start, why is he doing it? It's like you're going to be mad either way, but at least look at it by a case-by-case situation and respect their decision based off of their feeling.
Ooh, I never even thought about that. The other spectrum of it, which is fans want too much control. We don't want you to retire, but like Marlon just said, we'll be the first one to say that somebody needs to retire.
Like how long do you think Shaq played over his time?
2 years too long.
I want to say probably four.
We can say four, but
he should have went on to glory a long time ago.
He lost. Like I ignore the fact that he was ever in the Boston Celtics uniform.
And I'm going to tell you something. He played pretty good in Phoenix, but that was too long. I don't know what it is about Phoenix. I want to go there. I need their trainers to work on my body because they healed everybody. Grant Hill, Shaq, Steve Nash, they healed everybody.
I wouldn't be surprised if Grant Hill and Tamia still live there. They'd be like, we're not going nowhere.
I know where I am.
You got your instant Viagra.
Your inner Viagra is growing within you.
It's something interesting to see how many times fans say that players should retire.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we said that about Kobe, and I'm looking at y'all like, all these players in the league that look disinterested, that's barely playing, and you want one of the most passionate people to come out the court for what?
Yeah, and not only that, and look, when people say it's not about the money, you're a lie. I'm Kobe Bryant. There's no way in God's green earth that I am leaving $30 million on the table.
You ain't lying.
Talk that talk.
I was, man, bruh. No way.
Steve Nash it.
Give me,
man,
all my money.
I can be in a train accident and lose a limb. I'm going to be out there with one hand.
You ain't lying. And hey, I will do it.
You talking to the same people that will, like, if we give, if it's something that's $1.75, we'll give you $2. We will stand there for a minute. And be like, I know this person's going to get my quarter.
I know, right?
I know he's going to get my 25 cents. And we'll stand there and look at them, and they'd be like, huh? You forgot my 25 cents. So you think I ain't coming back for my 25, 26 million?
Yeah, there's no way I'm walking away from that. I would be the most one-handed jump hook shooting guard.
Who said Steve Nash? That's perfect person.
Yeah.
Everybody want him to retire.
And the thing about Steve Nash was he even said it. I'm not retiring. I'm not leaving this money on the table.
He said, I need the money.
What's the guy in
I don't think he should have said that, but he did say it. But
what's the guy, Gerald? He's in Boston now. He don't get no PT.
Oh, Gerald Wallace.
Gerald Wallace.
Ain't no way I'm leaving. What is it, 17?
Yeah.
17, 18? No way.
I'm not going nowhere.
That dude has been getting paid.
Hey, getting them
checks.
Right there. Getting paid.
Yeah.
Go ahead, young blood. Yeah. So, and that's something fans need to get off their soapbox. So when they say, take a pay cut so we can sign two of you guys. And you know,
like, who are you to count my pockets?
Yeah, even though we bouncing it off of football for a second, you know, like I asked a question one day on social media about what LeBron, Wade, and Bosh did. Was it noble? Oh no, that was stupid and blah 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 and all this stuff. I'm like, that was very noble.
Smart. Yeah.
LeBron James has never been the highest paid player on his team. Well, this year he is, I think, but he's never been the highest paid player on his team, and he's been the best player in the NBA for relatively 8-10 years. I don't know.
Because he know he was going to get that money.
Right.
He know that money was there. He know that check was there. He had to worry about that.
Well, let's go to the phone lines. Let's get some callers in.
The callers.
Okay. I'm going to call the last four digits.
Hold on. Tell them what number to call just in case they listen in.
It's 347-215-9490. I'm going to call the last four digits of your phone number. So let's start off. Let's start with 3373. That's 3373. Yeah, now on up for discussion.
I think this the legend.
Fellas. Cocaine is a heck of a drug. That's all I gotta say.
What's up, Cam?
What is going on, fellas? What's going on? Man,
what's going on,
buddy? What's going on now? What's going on, Marlon? Rashad, And Mike LeFay, you already called it, brother. You already know what I'm finna get on about. But before I get on there, I want to get on a better topic. Man, you know what? They've been talking a lot about Chris Boyle. And man, you know, I really wish they would just get off the brother back. I mean, because the thing is, all of us have made job changes in some time in our life. We have all done that, man. We've all changed jobs because people forget the NFL, man. Yes, it pays lucrative money, but it's still a job. That is still what it is. Mm-hmm. It's still a job. And people, you know, forget that you can change jobs just like anybody else in the regular world. But, you know, and if it meant something that was possibly, you know, dangerous to his health, wouldn't any of us give up that, no matter how much it's paying, wouldn't any of us give up something that's going to potentially kill us soon? I mean, because you will make all of that money and you cannot even enjoy it. So, all props to him. If he wanted to leave because of that, that's fine. I understand. You know, if I was the 49ers, I'd be pissed. Yeah, but then at the same time, I would understand. And we just have to move on from that because there's plenty of other players that want to, you know, that want to pursue that career no matter what and be all in. So that's all I
Absolutely.
Can say about that, you know. But now on to Corey Beerman. I'm sorry. We wasted 16 games on this man. We wasted 16 games on him, and I blame him and his wife, even though I doubt she was on the field any time. I blame him and his wife and that show for us going 6-10. So I mean, okay, let's get the logical. Let's get the obvious out. Let's be Captain Obvious for a second. Okay, we know the man can play multiple positions. I get that. I get Dan Quinn wants versatile players. I understand that. He can play defense in, outside linebacker, but whatever. Special teams. Okay, I understand that. But, dude, I do not want to hear his name anymore. His off the edge, try to shake and bake the offensive, the tight end, try to shake and bake the tight end, and the tight end uses one hand to push him down to the ground. Look, man, I don't want to see that no more. I don't want to see it anymore. We spent a few years watching that. Now, if you want to come back, I heard it's supposed to be a one-year deal for about $1 million or so. I mean, if that's the case, okay. I just feel like we could have gotten somebody else at special teams if that's what we needed in depth. I just feel like we just need to turn over a whole new thing with the franchise, with the roster, as much as possible. And, like, I don't know, and like y'all mentioned about 2K, whenever I get in there, I always tank my season, always tank my first year, and I get rid of everybody. I get rid of everybody and overturn that whole roster. That's what I do. But, fellas, that's all I had to say about it. I wish people would get over on Chris Boylan. The man, he just made a decision for his health. And besides that, y'all fellas, just enjoy yourselves and take it easy, and y'all do a great job on the show.
Appreciate it, Cam.
Right. Thank you, brother.
Appreciate it, man. Should we just even talk about this guy, or should we just move on?
Yeah, of course. Man, let's talk about him later.
Yeah.
We're going to be ranting for a while.
Okay, well, let's go on to another caller then. I'm calling the last four digits of your phone number. That's 2163. 2163. Yeah, now enough for discussion.
Hey, gentlemen, this is Vincent Pryde of Charlotte, North Carolina. How you doing this evening?
Hey, how you doing, sir?
Doing well. As you know, have a little sports show also on Thursdays, but right now I am representative of the Carolina Panthers, so we're decked at the I-85 rivalry going on down there in Hot Atlanta here in Carolina. So ready for that to get started again.
Yeah.
But what you talk about?
Going good.
Oh well, you know that's I got things to talk about that, but you know I'm kind of you know working for the organization. You kind of you know you wish him well in his future endeavors. That's pretty much all we can say on that. So, but overall, in terms of the situation, I'm kind of surprised at a lot of people, a lot of fans who question the vicariously of how these guys are retiring. And you have to think about something. You know, this is a physical sport, and our thing is when we sign rookies, when we talk with coaches, from anyone from trainers to whatever, this is what we usually go by. You basically, the players rent the jerseys and the coaches lease the whistles. Nothing is written in stone. You have one bad year and you're gone, pretty much. And I think a lot of people don't, that's the business side of the National Football League. Of course, we know there's a different perspective from the NBA, from MLB, and the NHL. Most contracts in the National Football League aren't guaranteed unless they have a signing bonus or whatever the case may be. But from the players understand that, you know, one bad season can lead you out the door. The coaches understand that one bad season can lead you out the door. But the fans' perspective, and I was a fan at one time, and I still am a fan, although I work for the organization, there is a perception of either a love or hate type of thing. You know, especially we had a situation a couple of years ago when Steve Smith, we released Steve Smith, and this year we released D'Angelo Williams due to issues of from a contract situation. So, and then we had the feedback from fans saying, "Oh, you guys are not a." We love Steve Smith, and I understand. I get it. We do, too. But you have to understand from a perspective, it is a business. And I think that a lot of people don't really realize the business aspect, and that's totally understandable. I mean, as a fan, you love your sport. You support your team. You give in. You pay the money. You buy their apparel. You go to the games, and you cheer. That's understandable. But these guys are out there performing every day as if you and I go to our jobs every single day. They're based on their performance. Whether you perform properly, that's great. If you don't perform, there are effects to that. So it's a situation where I think a lot of fans, it's not so much, it's not a likeness contest. It's not who they like the best. We as an organization, it's not about who we like the best. Yes, character is important, but you have to understand that, you know, when it comes to monies involved and when it comes to contract signings and when it comes to stipulations and meeting your criteria and doing your OTAs and your workouts and your off-season and your on-season and your on-field performances, there are standards that need to be met. And if those standards aren't met, you know, there are repercussions that will occur. You know, and that's just a side of business that I think a lot of people don't understand. I wish they would spend at least 1 week behind the scenes and just understand how the NFL really works. Because I think it would be an eye-opening experience, as it was for me about 10 years ago. So, and now I see it differently than I did back then. And I understand the passion of the fans. And it's beautiful to see that people love the players and what they do on the field and off the field. That's great, but it is a business. And it does break the hearts of some of the organizations, the leaders, the GM, the presidents, it hurts them to do that, but they have to look at the long run. They have to look at the monies that are involved. They have to look at, you know, how can we improve to get that brass ring, that proverbial brass ring that you're trying to reach. And what that calls for is change. And I love the way you said it earlier, how you use a wrestling analogy. You know, CM Punk reached for so many brass rings. Everything was a brass ring. When he got it, another brass ring would pop up, you know. So it's just about how you can produce, and if you can't do it, you have to get let go. So
yeah. And I appreciate you calling in, Vincent. You said that you had your own show. What's the name of your show?
Oh yeah, Thursday Night Mayhem. You can catch it every Thursday night on from 7 p.m. to 8 p.m. Eastern. Here on it's on Sports Fan Radio. You can catch that show. It's called Thursday Night Mayhem, and we're having a special edition of Thursday Night Mayhem the Saturday before WrestleMania to talk about wrestling, to talk about the card for that night and the Hall of Fame inductees as well. So,
I'll be on there.
All right. I'd love for you guys to come on and give us your input. We're going to have a couple of wrestling professionals, and we're going to have Ricky Steamboat join us as well to talk about WrestleMania, his perspective of then and now. So it's going to be a great show, and I would love to have you guys on to come on and chime in and join me.
Oh, man, yeah, definitely. I would definitely be on there. This is Marlon. I'm, like, the biggest wrestling fan, so I'd be on there.
Well, that sounds great. You guys have a great show. I love the topic. And just keep doing a great job.
Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thank you, sir.
I know we love some wrestling. Wrestling, as my mom said.
I still love it to this day.
Yeah, it's been kind of hard for me.
It's up and down, but I just still love it. I feel bad for Roman Reigns.
Let's go to another caller. Caller, I'm going to say your last four digits to your number. That's 0240. That's 0240. You're now up for discussion.
Last four, your phone number is 0240. You are now on with Four Home Field Advantage. What you got? Oh, we got a listener. He want to talk to us. He want to talk to us.
All right.
The awkward silence.
Well, what y'all think about this free agency so far?
The free agent frenzy was crazy, but when I look at it, I've always been a firm believer that championships in the NFL, not any other sport, but in the NFL, champions are built through the draft and not free agency. I mean, you have a few free agents that make that impact that helps, but it's not rare, but more teams build through the draft nowadays than they do free agency.
Okay.
I have plenty to say, but we have a special guest coming on, and I need time to rant. I need time.
Okay.
I need time. I am parched.
Well, you know what? We can go ahead and go to that special caller now. Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, we have a former Tennessee Titan and Tampa Bay Buccaneer standout, and he is the author of The Bigger Than Me. Ladies and gentlemen, Javon Hay, how you doing, sir?
Good. How about yourself?
Doing good. I'm glad you're on the show. Thanks for coming on.
No, thanks for having me on.
All right, so we had our topic right now where we're talking about a lot of these athletes that are starting to retire early, actually. And we talked about how Patrick Willis and everything that's going on. So I was just wondering, like, how do you think how everything that has happened so far as people retiring at a young age?
I mean, it's surprising, but, you know, guys are more aware of their situation and, you know, their health. And, you know, as far as when it comes to head trauma, I mean, you know, there's nothing good that comes out of it at the end of the day. You know, so guys are deciding, hey, you know, I got an option B, and the NFL is not everything to them, you know. You got a lot of guys that they have nothing else outside of playing football. They don't know anything else and don't want to do anything else, you know. So when guys call it quits early, you know, I don't blame them.
Hey, Juwan, this is Michael. When in the locker room or on a team, is there a visible difference between guys who have to play this game for money or guys who want to play the game for money? Or who actually just want to play it for passion?
Nah. I mean, you can kind of know. You know, you got guys who put the extra time in, you know, film and practice, and you got guys you could clearly tell they enjoy the finer things that the NFL has to offer. And, you know, at the end of the day, I still don't, you know, I mean, it's not a bad thing. It's because, you know, you're getting paid crazy amount of money to play a sport. So, but, you know, you can't really truly tell, you know, I wouldn't say who hearts in it. You just say some guys put more effort than others. And it doesn't mean they're not fully involved, because I've seen guys that really don't practice well, don't put extra time in, but, you know, come Sunday, they're the best thing smoking. So, you know, I can't really knock them for that.
Hey, Javon, this is Marlon. Hey, I wanted to ask the question about Jake Locker, because I know that you're in Tennessee. Well, the report came out that Jake Locker said that, you know, he had burnout when it came to football, that his desire wasn't in it anymore. Is it a possibility, this is just outside looking in, but is it a possibility that a plethora of things happened. Maybe he was feeling burned out, and the organization wasn't behind him as the franchise quarterback, and the beating he was taking. Could those things play the factor as well into his retirement?
I mean, honestly, I think between the injuries and Jake realizing that this is a business and there's a lot of BS that happens in this business, I think he mentally got burnt, you know, and, you know, I think he got frustrated, and I'm going to be honest with Jake. Do I think he would have ever gone through a whole season and not get injured? No. I think that would almost be impossible. So I guess he kind of felt like no matter what I do, I'm going to get injured and I'm going to be in the same situation. So might as well just call it quits now, and, you know, hats off to him.
What was that when you say he wouldn't have played the whole season? Was that because of his playing style or just because of personnel?
No, I just think I just think it's just the way the cards were built. You know,
okay.
Blaise had nothing to do with it. You know, how many snaps does Russell Wilson take? How many hits does Russell Wilson take? And he keeps bouncing back up. You know, so it's not about the shots or his playing style. Russell Wilson's way more aggressive in taking off and making plays with his feet than Jake Locker is. It's just that Jake's has been unfortunate, you know, when it comes to injuries. And he feels like every year he's been in the league, he's gotten hurt. And he's gotten multiple times after coming back from injury. 2-3 games later, he's back on the shelf. So, you know, don't blame him.
Yeah, me neither. I'm happy for him. I love to see people just do what they're passionate about.
No, I mean,
if you felt strong about it,
you know,
walk away.
Mm-hmm. I'm walk away, man. You know, it's like it's crazy how some people are killing these guys for walking away, but it'll be the same people who kill these guys because they got a large contract. You know, I'm like, so which one is it? You don't want to see guys make $70 million, but when a guy walks away, you're like, well, he's gonna leave $70 million on the table. Which one is it?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Javon, this is Rashad again. I was just wondering, as a former NFL player, and correct me if I'm wrong, you've been playing football since junior in high school, am I right?
Yeah, junior in high school, yep.
So did you ever feel, once you got in the NFL, did you ever feel that pressure that maybe you wanted to walk away as far as retiring early?
No. My situation, the NFL didn't want me anymore. You know, I promised my agent I was going to give him 13 years, and I was going to put 13 years in there, and it just didn't work out. So there was no pressure of me walking away. I worked my mind behind out to become a starter in this league and do great things. And within the you know, my last 2 years in the league, I got released 3 times, and that's never a good sign. So you clearly just let you know I'm bouncing around. I didn't want to keep bouncing, you know. So no,
Javon,
I mean,
what
if,
did you
if,
think?
If that didn't happen, I'd still be in the league right now.
Oh,
okay.
Wow. Okay.
Okay.
Javon, what do you think goes through someone's mind? Because you actually have had some success with life after football. What do you think goes through a player's mind when they decide whether or not to walk away?
I don't know. What's going to happen? What am I going to do? You know, how do I keep the money coming in? How do I keep bills taken care of? You know, do I downsize? You know, those are some stuff because, you know, you look at, you know, everyone always says, well, you know, these guys are going broke. It's like they're not going – a lot of these guys aren't going broke on purpose. I mean, you want to keep up a lifestyle but realize, you know, when no money's coming in, I mean, eventually you're just going to run out of your reserve, you know. So guys think, you know, what do I do after football? And I try to encourage guys now that don't wait till football is over with. Start doing it year one as a rookie. You know, I reached out to, what's the name, earlier, 2 weeks ago, the receiver from the Titans, not Titans, from the Bucks, first rounder, what's his name?
Mike Evans.
And I told him, hey, man, start preparing for life after football now. You know, I got into so many doors because I play professional football. And and it's like you're playing now. You're one of the best receivers in the league. Start taking advantage of the businessman or businesswoman in Tampa, in where you go. Build all the relationships. Start forging those partnerships. Start taking, you know, entrepreneurial risks. Start investing in yourself in businesses right now. after your rookie year and don't wait till 10 years from now, you know? Because I know guys right now, they retired and they've been making money outside of football for the last 4 or 5 years. I'm like, dang, that transition was easy, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm.
You know, somebody else that's pretty cool, even though he's been out of the game a very long time, but Roger Staubach is killing it.
Yeah. That's what you do. That's what you do. You know, guys are scared to venture out. I'm like, do it while you're playing. You know, I know guys that, you know, have taken $100,000, which, you know, $100,000, trust me, it's a lot of money. But in football terms, if you're making millions, not too much, and turn that into $22 million 2 years later. And I'm like, well, you have money while you're playing ball. A lot of people who have these great ideas don't have money, you know? So why don't you take some of that money that you have, find someone who has a great idea, or you come up with a great idea, and you run with it. Don't you think that's a problem that every time you turn around, you see a Snapchat, you know, you see an Uber, you know, you see all these great companies, they're ran by non-athletes. Why can't athletes become one of them where you say, you know what, they got 10 Fortune 500 companies that's ran by former NFL players or former, you know, professional athletes, because they don't think like that, you know? They don't think like that.
That's a great point, because I probably was doing Uber before it was an actual company driving around drunk people.
You know, imagine if you had $200,000 right there to start something like that up, you know?
Oh yeah.
So it's these non-athletes, these everyday guys who go to college or don't go to college who drop out, could come up with these great companies with no capital, and they just raise it when you have the capital. Like, and that's why I encourage guys to take that risk, man. I want to be a former NFL player saying, "Hey, I'm one of the founders for a company worth $2-3 billion." That's what I'm working on now. But guys don't think like that. Guys think I'm gonna sit on my money, and I'm like, dude, in order to really take care of your family and your family's family, you're literally going to have $50 to $100 million sitting in the bank. And not everybody has that. If you haven't made Peyton Manning-type money, you know, not Andre Johnson, but Larry Fitzgerald-type money, let's just be honest, a $30 million contract is nothing. It really is not, especially if you're going to continue that lifestyle when you're done. And you know, a lot of people don't realize you got these CEOs, and these CEOs are making $10 million a year. Well, they've been making $10 million a year for the last 7 years. I signed a $30 million deal, you know, let's say it's a $25 million deal, 5 years. You know, it's for me to see the 25, which you're not going to see 25. Half of that's going to go to taxes. So in order for me to see, you know, whatever, 17 of that, it's going to take 5 years to see. I'm not getting $17 million day one where it could sit in the bank and accrue, or I could invest right away. No. And that's the things people don't realize. That money is spread over years. So you never truly have $10 million sitting in the bank if you sign a $20 million deal.
Oh, wow.
Hey, Javon, this is Marlon. I got a quick question. I just thought about something when you started talking about the taxes and stuff. Do you remember a few years ago when the NHL players were signing contracts where they was getting their money, like, after taxes? Like, for example, I think it was one of the – I want to say it was Sidney Crosby signed, like, an $88 million deal, but it was after taxes.
Yes,
like, he got the lump sum. Why is it – why we don't see that in the NFL or any other major sport?
I mean –
is that, like,
I
against
just,
regulation?
I think each sport's different, you know, because it's like – I don't know. I can't speak on that. I don't want to be the one. I've never played NBA or NHL. But I know when you're playing in the NFL, I mean, you know, you get taxed in the state that you play in. You get taxed in the cities that you visit. You know, that's why some guys don't like traveling to New York or traveling, because you get taxed much harder. You know, it's like guys who played in Tennessee, sometimes they got residents in Texas or Florida just so they get some kind of tax break because they're not getting enough from football.
Right.
You know? You know, get your car registered in Florida even though you live in Tennessee. That's what guys do. They find ways to try to, you know, get some kind of tax relief. And a lot of people don't realize that, man. They don't. You know? It's like you just see guys that have $3 million homes, and next thing you know, they've downgraded from a $3 million home to, you know, $300,000. Like, that's common sense. They're sitting there saying, money's not coming in at that rate. And how do I create residual income if you don't have a business that's bringing in money? Yeah. Banks aren't giving you nothing. You can put $2 million in the bank right now and let it sit for a year. They ain't gonna be. That's nothing. 2-3 months worth of bills for most guys in the NFL.
Wow.
Yeah.
That
makes
sense.
Only way to truly make $7 million laugh if you had that in your bank account is to get down and live as if you were living on $40,000 a year. Be honest with you. That means get rid of your $2.2 million home. You know, get rid of the cars, get rid of the insurance and all that, and act like live like you make $40,000 a year. That's the only way you can make that money stretch. Can't have $7 million in the bank and it takes you $400,000 a year to live. Trust me, it'll run out. It will run out.
I believe.
So when you thought God had millions, it's not like that, man. Cats don't know. It's just people on the outside thought they don't know. They don't know. Yeah. Now, is it for the guy to downgrade? If he doesn't downgrade, and that's on him. But just don't think when a guy loses, you know, $30 million, oh, my gosh, he blew $30 million. No, you could go through money. You truly don't know what it is means to have millions until you have it and how fast you could go through it.
I absolutely agree. Now, I was on your website, and your website actually is very inspiring. The first thing that I seen was Dick Celestia and entrepreneurship. What a great combo. And then I seen your book called Bigger Than Me about your life experience. Can you explain it to all the callers?
Well, yeah. You know, it's I'm dyslexic, and I'm proud of it. And, you know, I wrote an autobiography about my life, my trials and tribulations, especially being dyslexic and trying to, you know, somewhat make a way for myself and my family and, you know, my tough times growing up in Jamaica and all that. And, you know, it's just there to encourage people to realize, you know, it's not, you know, you're a cliche statement. It's not where you start, it's where you finish, you know. It's true, but it's also about the journey, you know. And, you know, bigger than me, I don't know what's pushing me. I know God has a lot to do with it, well, has everything to do with it. But it's like, I just don't know, you know, what's going on. I mean, I'm just living the path. You know, he paved the way. I'm just walking it. And something bigger than me is driving me to do what I'm doing. You know, being able to, you know, leave the NFL at a fairly young age and say, hey, I want to move on with different things in life, you know. So that's where I'm at. You know, a lot of dyslexics, a lot of people don't know, some of the most successful people in the world are dyslexic, you know, because they have the entrepreneurial spirit. They have that I'm used to failing. So it's not a problem when I fail. You know, some people are used to success, man, and they don't know what failure is. So the second first time failure hits them, you know, they curl up and they drop to their knees. They don't know what to do. I'm used to failure. Mm. So when failure hits me, I bob and weave. Let's go. You know?
I like it.
Mm-hmm. And I was noticing, man, you're a part. I'm like amazed, man. I'm looking at all this stuff on your website from the organizations and the business that you have, man. And I mean, hats off to you, man. This is very inspiring.
Oh, man, you know, like I said, I you know, people, I'm not one of those where I do it so people say, oh, my gosh, I don't like to brag. I like to encourage people, man, and show them, man, you could do anything. You could put your mind to it, you know. You know, I hate when, you know, people say, oh, I can't or whatever. There's so many people that are, you know. And, you know, I like to use people's, you know, stories where mine is, you know, I think my story is, you know, unique, but, you know, it's the Tyler Perry's of the world. You what? You live in, you're homeless? Now you're $300 million man, so I don't want to hear nothing. I don't want to hear about your, you know, your issues. Tyler Perry was homeless. Hey, look what he turned out to. You know, he believed in himself, risked, you know, betted on himself, and, you know, I think a lot of people don't bet on themselves, you know. They're quick to get down, and people start pointing fingers, you can't do it, you won't do it. And, you know, one of my biggest challenges was I started believing all that, and I decided, you know, if I don't start believing in myself, all these people are right. They're justified. I won't be anything in life, and I'm not going to be anything in life. So once I start believing in myself, man, anything's possible. You know, anything's possible. And, you know, it sounds cliche. Trust me. It sounds cliche. Not everybody's going to be able to do it, but how bad do you want what you want? Seriously, how bad do you want it? You know, what's that grind? It's that rapper, you know, that went to Epic Records, and every day he's in front of there and say, hey, man, just listen to my tape, and I'm singing before you know he gets a shot to go upstairs. That's the grind, you know? The guy on the subway singing away, hoping one of these CEOs, you know, that lives on Fifth Ave is on the train, might hear his voice. That's the grind. and I appreciate it. So, you know, I just here to encourage people and let them know, man, if you want it bad enough, go find a way to make it happen and be okay if it doesn't happen. And that's the part of, you know, great part about being dyslexic. I fail so many times where it's okay. It doesn't even bother me anymore.
Wow. Now, before we let you go, can you give everybody your information on where they can find you and also any future events that you might have coming up?
You can find me on JavonHaye.com. That's JovanHaye.com. Or you can find me on Javon_Haye on Twitter, which I'm real big on right now. But, you know, you can just go on my website and find out events I have coming up and, you know, what I'm doing. And, you know, I think at the end of the day, you know, I think my bigger purpose was, you know, I'm starting to realize is not to get financial wealth for myself. It's being able to put myself in a situation where families and generations are taken care of. But in the meantime, I can help those who are outside of my family, random people, friends, you know, even enemies, your peers, and just help leave some kind of legacy, because you can't take the money with you, you can't take the success with you. But, you know, what's that legacy going to leave behind when it's all said and done? And I'm more concerned about that than anything else, to tell you the truth.
Well, Javon, thank you for coming on to the show. We really appreciate it. Ladies and gentlemen, give it up for Javon Haye.
All right, thanks for having me, man. You guys keep doing what you're doing. Rock out.
We would like to thank Javon Haye for coming on to the show and speaking with us, giving us wisdom and insight on that topic. We're going to take a quick music break. After that break, we're going to give you the For the People segment. That's the segment for you, the people, who want to ask us any question that you like and we have to answer. Stay tuned. This is Up for Discussion, brought to you by For Home Field Advantage.
City Boys Selling Boys. City Boys Selling Boys. City Boys Selling Boys. City Boys Selling Boys.
following all independent and unsigned artists, producers, DJs, models, and photographers. Do you want to gain more exposure? Need to build a buzz? Then check out 48 Media and submit to be featured on 48media.com. Send your request to info@48media.com. That's F-O-U-R, the number 8, media.com. You can also find 48 Media on Facebook and Twitter. Just search the number 4, E-I-G-H-T, Media.
48 Media. Necessarily have the number one seed, so overall seed, in my opinion. That's how I feel.
Yeah, with me, the game doesn't mean anything outside of, like you said, entertainment purposes. The Atlanta Falcons have locked up the playoffs. The Atlanta Hawks have locked up the playoffs and have done so for a while. They are also missing Kyle Korver, Mike Scott, and Tavo Cephalosha. That's a lie. This is just another game. We're just trying to, at this point, control our seeding to make sure that we get the number one overall, which is pretty much a lock. It's just a matter of time. It's just an enjoyable game to watch. But it's, I mean, Klay Thompson not even playing.
I think the game in Atlanta was more of the real.
Right.
Yeah.
Get healthy, Kyle Cole. Need that.
Yeah.
He ain't going to come back with a mask. I hope he play like Ray, what's his name?
Which one? Rip. Yeah, I was getting ready to say because Alonzo came back with a mask.
Come back and play like Rip, man.
Yeah. I absolutely agree with both of you. No point in me repeating anything because I think both of y'all already said it.
Swag.
Now, next question. Amber Rose or Kim Kardashian? Should I say who asked this question?
You can ask it. This is Michael that asked that question. I asked because it was a question that was posed earlier, and I just wanted to know. Like, for me, I have to take Kim just because of money-making power. Like, I'm sorry. Amber Rose, she going to be out all night trying to host parties to get some cash up and all that other stuff and host little events. I ain't got time for that, man. Kim, man, she can make $1 million at the drop of a dime. I'm with that.
Well, you guys know who my doppelganger is, so you already know which way I go.
Kardashian?
For me, that's a hole. But the fact that Amber Rose, the hairstyle, really I'm not into when women have, you know, low hair like that, but the way she can rock it.
She kills
I got to give it to her. Like, I'm running with her.
Man, that's a sexy Q-tip.
I gotta give it to her.
Well, I will say this: if Kim Kardashian continues to keep that blonde hair, I'm jumping off the bandwagon fast.
Me too.
Yeah,
that blonde hair is not the business.
I even talked to Yeezus. He said he gonna jump off.
She look like Andre Kirilenko. Ain't nobody got time for that.
Nah, she look like Dolph Lundgren wife in Rocky.
Yeah, she does.
Oh, that's funny.
I must break you.
Okay, so Anthony asks, Mariota or Winston?
Right now, if he's saying, like, who would you pick? For me, it's Winston. I think that Winston has he's the best right now, but Mariota has the opportunity to be better. I'm going with the winner. What, the man has lost one game in college?
Yeah.
I'm going with the winner.
I got to go with Jameis Winston.
Crab leg.
Love them cigarettes.
Crab legs. Keep getting them checks. Keep getting them white girls.
Yeah, I love Jameis, man. I think he's a proven winner. He's taking the most snaps behind center, under center. He's that guy.
All right. I agree with Winston. Bring the crab legs. All right, last one. Well, we kind of talked about this a little, but we can still answer the question. Thoughts on head coach Quinn and the passive free agent request?
I'll be honest, I don't think that he's being passive. I don't. Just because you don't sign the biggest splash doesn't mean that you're being passive. Passive is what the Carolina Panthers are doing. Passive is what, New Orleans Saints are not being passive. They trying to save money like Geico around here.
You ain't lying. They still in trouble.
You know, so I just don't. I thought Justin Durant was an excellent sign. I thought Brooks Reed was an excellent signing. The rest of the guys, Schofield, he knows the system.
Mm-hmm.
The cornerback, Philip, I forgot his last name, but Philip fits the system. Adrian Claiborne, we need pass rushers. Corey Beerman, We like Kim Zolciak in Atlanta or something. I don't think he's being passive.
All right.
I'm going to say this again. I'm not going to keep saying it. I am not going to question this regime until the end of the season. This man can cut Matt Ryan. I might raise an eyebrow at him cutting Matt Ryan, but I'm not going to question him because it's only fair to judge somebody after what they've done. Take advice, Philadelphia Eagle fans.
Okay, gentlemen. Let's go ahead and do this. Final four thoughts. Who'd like to go first?
I'll go first. This is about Croy Beerman. The best part about life is when a bunch of people get together and are on the same page. Once Croy Beerman got re-signed, I went on to Twitter. And these people are slaying his mentions. All I want to say is, don't do it too much to kill his self-esteem. Well, keep on rumbling with the jokes, because that was pretty funny.
My final four is, I was reading an article today about LeBron James and David Blatt not being on the same page as far as where they should be seeded in the playoffs. David Blatt feels as if they should stay a second seed, a two seed, and fight hard for it. LeBron feels as long as he's in the playoffs, he has an opportunity, and we need to be more strategic and rest and things like that. This actually shows why the Cleveland Cavaliers organization has been dysfunctional for many years, because you hired a coach before you brought back your star player. LeBron feels like he knows just as much as David Blatt. I'm sure he does. What you do is you sign your star player. You find a coach or a GM and or vice president, president of the organization that can handle him and corral his ego, i.e. Pat Riley. There are others out there that are like Pat Riley. So I really don't see David Blatt being the coach to take them to the finals. If they win, I still only give him 3 years as the Cavaliers coach. Next coach, make sure they know how to coach Kyrie Irving and LeBron James, and they mutually respect them. That's it.
All right. And let me start off with mine. Well, growing up, I always felt like my little brother was absolutely the best athlete that I have ever seen as far as his age groups, and I even think he's the best in our entire family. And I remember my dad used to always get on him about certain things. It's funny now because now I have a son. And yesterday he started his soccer practice. And now I see what my dad was going through and the patience that he had to have. Didn't know it was that hard, but it's going to be a good season. That's it. You can check us out, Four Home Field Advantage Sports Talk and Four Home Field Advantage Trash Talk on our Facebook page. Check us out every Wednesday on here for discussion, Blog Talk Radio. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we had a good talk. Looking forward to talking to you next week.
Good night.
Night.
Goodbye.
Hey, keep fighting, April Bird. I see you. Keep fighting.
Yes, ma'am.